Stan, did you like that fan? That's nice, isn't it? I bet y'all thought I never was going to quit this morning. I was so comfortable up here that I had to tell you, I meant to tell you something this morning, and I completely forgot about it. You know, people are concerned about getting out on time so the pot roast doesn't burn, right? You know, that's what we talk about, the pot roast and all this. I actually had pot roast for lunch today, and it was good, and it didn't burn. So we got out, everything was fine. I hope you had a good day and got to eat good stuff and had some good fellowship together. The text this evening is Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Excuse me. And that text reads as follows. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Sounds like a blessed man. Sounds like a happy man. So this junior executive walked into the office of the old chairman of the board. He was very tentative as he was walking into this office because this man was a legend. He had built this company up from nothing, and it was now a world-class organization, and everyone respected and even feared this elderly gentleman quite a bit. And so the younger man had been recently promoted to the position in management, and so he'd been asked, or summoned, I should say, to meet with the big boss. So he goes in, he sits down. After a few exchanges, the older man asked if the new manager had any questions. Sir, I was wondering, what do I need to do to become a great manager like you? What do I need to do? Make good decisions, was the short reply. Make good decisions. Well, how do I know if I'm making good decisions? Well, that's experience. Oh, experience, okay. Well, pardon me, sir, but how do I get experience? From bad decisions. From bad decisions. Have you ever been given bad advice and listened to it? Have you? I know that I have. It happens. You know, people get into trouble. It's just the way it is. I get into trouble all the time. And I imagine looking out in this crowd, and some of you I've known for a few years, and I know for a fact that when you were young, you got into trouble. Some of you have told me some of those stories. Oh, yeah, we get into trouble. And yet even now, in maturity, with experience, with wisdom, we still get into fixes sometimes, more than we'd like to admit. So bad advice. It's everywhere, isn't it? There's lots of it. There's no shortage of it. Think about where we would be if the Wright brothers had listened to the advice of their father. Milton Wright told his boys, if man were meant to fly, God would have given him wings. Well, they didn't listen. That would have been some bad advice if they'd listened to that. Thomas J. Watson, CEO of IBM now, back in 1943, made this statement. I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Wow. Yeah. Where's IBM today? They're around, but they're not the people you think of when it comes to computers, are they? Yeah. And then there was a Boston newspaper. Y'all going to love this one. Anybody in here got a smartphone? Anybody in here got a dumb phone? I know Henry's got one. It flips. Yeah, okay, there you go. All right. But, these phones are amazing, aren't they? There was a Boston newspaper. Patrick, that got you, didn't it, boy?
What about a triple dumb phone?
Hey, shh. It's a Boston newspaper back in 1865. It ran the following statement regarding the future of the telephone. Well-informed people know that it is impossible to transmit the human voice over wires as may be done with dots and dashes of Morse code, and that were it possible to do so, the thing would be of no practical value. Wow. Bad advice. You know, there's been a lot of fictional stories told about individuals who had an opportunity that something happened and they were put back in time to a time long before their birth. And that's where they're at. They're living there now. They're back in time. And this is where they're going to stay. And here they are back in time, and they know what happened in the future, according to these fictional stories. They know what happened in the future, so they think to themselves, well, I'll just make all the right investments, and I'll be a rich fella in the future. Well, there was enough bad advice back then, and there's still enough bad advice today, that there are just no guarantees. You got to be careful who you listen to. You really have to be careful about that. The world is filled with bad advice, but the Bible is filled to the brim with sound wisdom on how to live. Think about how much grief we could avoid if only we would listen to and heed the Word of God from our youth up. I once knew a lady in North Carolina. Her son was a good Christian boy. He was in college at Western North Carolina. He had come to our little congregation in Wilson numerous times, and he was always involved in trying to bring people to Jesus. He was not dating. He was interested in dating, but had not found the right girl. And his mother, who was not a Christian, told him, "Son, you're wasting your life. You need to get out and sow your wild oats. You need to do this because you're letting life get by and you're missing out on what you're supposed to be doing." Oh my, that was from a mother. What worse advice could you give someone? Well, thank God this boy did not listen. And he continued to be a faithful Christian, and I've lost touch with him, but knowing his heart back then, unless something unbelievable has happened, he is probably, most likely, still a very faithful Christian man today. And no doubt blessed because he stayed true to God's word. He did not heed or the bad advice, but rather he listened to and obeyed the word of God. The Bible warns us that walking in the counsel of the ungodly will lead to opening yourself up to outright sin. And that will in turn lead to becoming comfortable with it. And then eventually becoming numb to it. And then taking it so lightly as to joke about sin and make fun of those who do try to take it seriously. That is the progression that we see in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Compare Proverbs 14, verse 8 and 9 to what we've just said. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The man who does not follow the advice and the wisdom and the philosophy of those who are outside or without God in the world. Those who will not listen to that are indeed going to be blessed. How much wisdom of the world do we hear every day? We are exposed to it every single day, unless you stay in your house and keep the TV off, radio off, cell phone off, lights off maybe, so you can't see anything. But if you go out in this world, you're going to be exposed to sinful things. How much of this world's wisdom are we exposed to? We have horoscopes and palm readings, and Oprah and Dr. Phil and the like, who ignore the precepts and principles of God and criticize and mock those who tend to follow it. Can't you hear the ungodly wisdom that's in the world in the songs that tell us to follow our hearts, fight, rebel? Songs that tell us not to wait for marriage, but to enjoy as many partners as possible? Songs that glorify drinking, adultery, and dishonesty? We have a world of songs that make fun of Christianity and that condemn the Christian principles and rather would substitute Christian principles with the wisdom of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the way of the world. The same is true of movies. What messages are we receiving from Hollywood? Are they not trying to tell us that Christians are wackos? That creation is a myth? That the Bible is just another book? That it's nothing but a money scam? What do they know? What do they know of God and His counsel and His Son, Jesus Christ? What do they know of it? And yet they consider themselves experts on the subject. What real benefit can believers obtain from people who do not even know how to fear the Lord? Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And yet these people don't have any concern about fearing the Lord. The entire book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. In fact, the whole Bible is. But the counsel of those who do not know God, they just don't see it. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they say He's just a man, maybe a good teacher, maybe a prophet, but certainly not from God. The counsel of the world tells people that Christ is only a historical figure to be put in the same category as Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and Gandhi. Yet the counsel of God is based on reality. It's truth. And it tells us that man is without hope in this world if he does not have Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 12 regarding the relationship with Christ, apart from Christ, we can do nothing to save ourselves. Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God, who is rich in mercy, sent His only begotten Son to save us from our sins. This is the wisdom of God, and this is the wisdom that the world certainly needs but tends to ignore. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not conduct his life based upon the wisdom of this world, but rather who lives his life based on the counsel of God and the wisdom of God's word. Second, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. I want you to notice he stopped walking. Now he's standing. Did you notice that? He's no longer walking. Now he's standing. He's taken a position. He's getting comfortable. He's standing in the way of sinners. This man that's blessed does not put himself in a place where sin makes itself at home in his life. When we start listening to the wisdom of those who know not God, we begin to find ourselves open to the seeds of sin. And we will. So what happens is when that happens, we stop. And we listen. When we're interested in what they have to say, we stop and we listen. How many times have carnivals that come through convinced some young foolish person to stop and waste some of their money on some of these little games? And they make it sound so good. They make it sound like you can't lose. And you're saying the preacher sounds like he's talking from experience. Yes, he is. I was 18 once too. And I got suckered in just like a whole bunch of y'all did too. I know you're not by, I'm not by myself in this. But these people make things sound so good. So we stop and we listen. And once we stop and listen, they've got us. He stands in the way of sinners? No, this is not a blessed man. Rather, the man that does not stand in the way of sinners is the one that's going to be blessed. But see, the attitude is, what could it hurt? It's just a little information. What can it do? What real harm can it do? You consider the familiar passage in James 1, verses 14 through 16. We've just covered that recently. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts, his own desires, and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. You cannot ignore this truth. You cannot think that it doesn't apply to you. It applies to us all. This leads us then to the next level. Not only is this man blessed because he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he does not stand in the way of sinners. Those who do are truly being fools. But this man also will not sit in the seat of the scornful. In the classic movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? There's not many movies I recommend. I recommend that one. It's based on a classic piece of literature, and I think it's the Iliad by Homer, but I could be wrong. Don't misquote me on that one. But this movie has some of the most unusual characters I've ever seen in my life. There are three escaped convicts, and they're traveling across the country trying to get back to this one man's home. And they come across a group of people being baptized in the river. And they hear this preacher preaching, and one of the men takes off down into the water. Boy, he just shoots and he's gone. He runs down there, runs out to the river, and the preacher just grabbed him and dunked him right under and brought him back up. And he came up and he's all glory, hallelujah, the Lord done washed away my sins. And then he looks at his two comrades up there and he says, come on in, boys, the water's fine. Y'all remember that? If you haven't seen it, you're going to want to. It's an amazing story. The point I want you to see, he's saying you need to come on down here and join me. Now that sounds like a good example, but the fact of the matter is, there's an old proverb that fits this point right here. It's an old American proverb. If you can't beat them, join them. Yeah, y'all know it. Y'all know it. And this proverb has really messed up a lot of people's lives. Is that how we really want to spend our lives? If we can't beat them, join them. If we can't defeat them, we might as well sit down right among them and join right in. Because if we don't hang together, we'll hang separately and that sort of thing. Well, guess what? The end result in both cases is hanging. I don't think I like that idea. We just hang out there. And we begin to feel at ease among these sinful people who laugh at sin as if it was a big joke. But wait, there's more. You haven't spiraled down to the bottom yet, because now it comes to the point that these folks will scorn and laugh at and mock those who will not sit there with them. And they will mock at sin and say, sin is nothing. Sin is nothing more than some group of people trying to keep you from having a good time. That's what sin is. That's what they will teach. And so the man who sits there among them will eventually become like them. And he will join right in. Folks, look around you. Sin is everywhere. Foul language has filtered down to primetime television. So has sex. Oh, but it's tastefully done. Yeah, right. And there's even some nudity that's been approved by the television censors. And you have to be so careful. And then there's the internet. Parents with young boys, young girls, you better keep a close eye on your children and what they have access to, or you're going to have a shock one day, and you're going to be so upset when you see your little ones have lost their innocence, become jaded and calloused, and no longer listen to the rules that God would instill in them, because they have been captured by the internet and all the evil that is on it. I'm not suggesting that we leave the world, that we lock ourselves up in some big building and insulate ourselves and isolate ourselves from the world, but we've got to be on guard and be aware of the way the world works and not allow ourselves to be held captive by it. This is why we need to come to church. This is why we need to study and pray every day. This is why we need to spend time with God as often as we can, to keep ourselves pure, to keep ourselves safe from these deceptive people that would ensnare us like a spider in its web. And we need to be on guard about these things, brethren. You see, there's just no shame anymore. People are wearing more and more and more revealing clothing. And they're openly shacking up with other people. I'm amazed at how many benevolent calls we get here at the church building of somebody that will need help. I got a call this last week. This gentleman called me. I use the term loosely. He called me and said, somebody told me that y'all help folks sometimes. Okay, who told you that? Well, he told me a fella, and it was one that we had helped. Said, y'all help folks sometimes. Well, me and my pregnant fiance need help with a hotel room. In the first place, fiance, the word is being misused and misapplied. It's for someone that you're planning to marry, not just someone you're shacking up with. But there's just no shame. People not only sit around in bars speaking evil things and laughing about it, but the same thing happens at Starbucks as well and other places where people hang out. I'm not suggesting again that we lock ourselves away from the world, but we would be fools to think that constant exposure to sin will not affect us. No matter how strong we may be, no matter how mature we may be, constant exposure to sin has an effect. This is why we constantly need to adjust ourselves, adjust our course, make sure we're walking in the light, make sure we're doing what's right. People mock sin as if it's nothing. It's just a joke to the world. And unfortunately, many Christians have joined in with this because they don't see much in the way of consequences on those who do such things. But the consequences will come, brethren. As we have seen in our study in Habakkuk, they will not be happy when judgment does come. These who mock, these who scorn, these who sit in the seat of the scornful, they will face judgment someday. With their wisdom and their counsel does not mention that we will reap what we sow, according to Galatians 6, verse 7. It does not mention that God one day will bring all things into judgment, as Isaiah 13, verse 11 says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." The man who does hang out with the scornful, who feels at ease with those who laugh at sin as if it is a joke, the man who hangs out in this way is going to face the wrath of God. But blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He will truly be happy. If we reverse this psalm, it might say, "Oh, how grieved is the man who does not receive the wisdom of God. But oh, how happy is the man that does." The blessed man delights in the word of God. And this then is the protection of that man. And it is the direction of that man. And it's going to keep him from the consequences of the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and the seat of the scornful. And this is the blessed man who is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, planted in an ideal location where there's no shortage of sustenance, where there's no shortage of life and that which gives life. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Because his delight in and commitment to following the word of God has kept him safe. Amen. Psalm 1 verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is the end result of the ungodly counsel, of the way of sinners, or standing with the sinners and sitting with the scornful. This is the end result of it all, is the ungodly shall perish. Blessed is the man who doesn't give in to these things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This man is going to be blessed like the tree planted by the river, and everything he does shall prosper. That's who we need to be. So let's keep working on that. Don't give up. Don't give in. As we said several months ago, giving in is sin. Don't do it. Don't walk in the way of the ungodly. Don't sit or don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scoundrel, the scornful. Okay, the scoundrel either. Leave them alone. Try to influence for good, but just remember, it's easier for them to pull you down than it is for you to lift them up. You just remember that and keep yourself protected. Put on the whole armor of God. Make sure that you have the Christian virtues in your life, the Christian graces in your life. Make sure you are guided by the word of God, and that you're not conformed to the image of this world, but that you're transformed by the changing of the way you think, so that you can be conformed to the image of God's Son instead of to the image of the world. As you consider your life and your relationship with God, if there's anything that's standing between you and God tonight, we encourage you to make things right while you can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.